Good morning, church. I love it. He's back. You are back. Glad you're here. We, Cheryl and I spent, and a couple of others spent this weekend in Lubbock at our annual conference. Went through a hailstorm and two tornadoes. I mean, like, they were on us. But I'm here. I'm here. We made it through. Glad that you're with us this morning. Shall we invite the Holy Spirit? So welcome, and I want to welcome our live stream worshipers as well. Let's pray. Father, you are so good. When things are going great, you are good. When we struggle, when we have trials, you are still good. You're just good. You love us, and you've proven that love for us on the cross. May your Spirit, we invite your Spirit to be here with us. We pray that the name of Jesus that is above every name would be high and lifted up. We pray that we would experience you in a fresh and new and real and powerful way today. We pray it in that name, Jesus. Amen. You'll rise if you're able. Let's worship together.
As he said, good morning. We're excited you're here. Worship with us.
Shout out your praise, there's joy.
the early service this morning, it's Texas has had a lot of weather as of the last week. And I don't know about y'all, but Lubbock seems like they got the worst of it. And it's one of those things that it's like, it's terrible to think about all the damage and all the destruction that happens when storms like that come into play. But it also makes me think about the story of Job, when Job challenges God and he's like, hey, like, why are you doing this? Like, what did I do to you? And God's like, hey, hold on. Who has hail stored up in silos, ready for war and strife? It's like, know your place. And like, so even in the chaos and the disaster that can come with some of these storms, we still get to see the power of God. We still get to see the power, but then the beautiful side of this also is we get to see the people of God surround after these disasters and after these bits of chaos, to where not only do we see God's power through storms and things that happen, but we also get to see the love and the kindness and the grace of God that literally comes out of the people of God. And so it's a great thing to see, and obviously our prayers are with the people in Lubbock, but we have a chance to all see the power and the presence of God in everything. And so as we think about that, and as we continue to worship this morning, let's have that on our hearts. Children would come forward and meet Miss Teresa in front.
Good morning. It's always so good. Yeah, don't be too far out. No shy people here. All right. I am so glad you're here this morning. I want to talk about being courageous this morning. What are some instances where you have to find the courage to do something? Going on stage, that can be scary. You have to find the courage to do that. What other times have you had to show some courage? Going off from a tall diving board, yes. Going on a big, scary roller coaster. Well, yeah, if you jumped off a skyscraper, hopefully you have something on your back to catch you or something there. All right. Well, I want to read a verse out of Deuteronomy about being strong and courageous. It's from chapter 31, verse 6, and it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." So God will never leave you or forsake you, and so you're supposed to be strong and courageous. And I tried to think how I could show a difference. I have a feather here and a rock. Do you think one of these would represent having God with you, and one of these maybe representing not having? Which way do you think it would go?
I think that the rock is the strong one with God with you, and then the feather is the weak.
Right. I agree. That was my thought, too. I'm here. We, without God, are kind of like a feather, because if some wind or something comes up and kind of blows against us, we would fall. We wouldn't stay put. We go all over the place. But when God is with us and we use him, because it's not us, we have God, right? It doesn't rely on us. We're this wimpy feather over here. We don't move. We have stability. We are stable. We're not having a fit and having wondering what's going on. God has us stable. So we need to remember, as we go through our life and we have scary times, maybe jumping off a diving board or having to go on stage, when we are doing these things, I'd suggest not doing that one, that we ask God to be with us, and we recognize that God is with us. We're the ones who are saying, "God, I know you're with me. I need you now. Help me be strong. Help me have courage. Help me remember my lines. Help me jump off the diving board. Help me not do something my friends are telling me to do that I know is wrong. Help me not do something wrong that I'd like to do, but I know it's wrong." These are times to ask God for help. Have him help you be the rock that's not going to be blown all over the place because of thoughts and feelings when you know they're not the right way to do it, or something you need to do, have him help you. All right, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, when we feel afraid, please remind us that we are not alone. You are with us everywhere we go. Fill our hearts with courage. Help us stand strong and do the right thing, even when it is hard. Thank you for loving and keeping us safe. In Jesus' most holy name, amen.
Well, good morning, church family. Good to see you, and good to have you worshiping with us online. Whether you're worshiping at home or in our building, I encourage you to go ahead and check into the appropriate service through the app. We're still trying to gather names for those who would like to receive communication through text message. And if you want to get on the list, you'll need to consent for us to do that. So there's a QR code in your bulletin that you can scan that'll take you to a form that you can fill out. Vacation Bible School starts next Sunday. Woohoo! I'm excited about that. How many people have signed up to serve? Just curious. Awesome. We've got over 100 servants that have signed up to serve. There's about 175 kids, but there's more room for kiddos, and there's more room for servants. So you can fill out the form in your bulletin
the insert, or you can do that electronically. And because of preparation for Vacation Bible School, all the Sunday school classes will be dismantled. I'm trying to think of a good word there. There'll be no tables and chairs, so getting ready for Vacation Bible School. So no Sunday school next Sunday. And our Wednesday night starts, for the summer, starts on the 25th, and we'll run for 5 weeks through the summer. Let's stand, if you're able, and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So today is Pentecost Sunday. Several thousand years ago, the Holy Spirit fell on the church, and it was a really good day for the church that day. And that same Holy Spirit that filled those believers several thousand years ago is still active today, still functioning as much as we allow him to. Our pastor's going to preach on that this morning. What I'd like to do, I would like for us to spend a little time thanking God for this gift. He could have given us anything. Unlimited wealth. He could have given us unlimited relationships. But he gave us his best, the thing that was best for us, and that was the gift of the Holy Spirit. There may be some debate on this theologically. I believe that we have all of him. I think the breakdown is that he doesn't have all of us. And so this morning I'd like for us to spend a little time thanking him for that gift. Maybe asking the Lord the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us in a deeper way, in a fresh new way. And then I want to pray for us. Let's go to the Lord and just spend a little bit of time, just you and the Lord, connecting with him, thanking him for the Holy Spirit, seeking that presence in your life. Father, we thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, it's kind of hard to fathom that you said it was for our benefit that you went away, and my goodness, what it would have been like walking with you. But if you didn't ascend to the Father, then the Holy Spirit could not come. So we thank you for that precious gift. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the way that you are incredibly obedient to the Father. You always have his desires in mind. Holy Spirit, the word says you're our counselor, you're our helper, you're our comforter, you're our advocate, you walk beside us. You're a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. I pray that you be for us what we need you to be for us, and help us to be open to your movement in our lives. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, when we grieve you. Forgive us when we resist you. Forgive us when we quench you. And sometimes I think that our call in life as we're walking down this narrow road is to resist the quenching and the grieving, almost like there are guardrails on each side of the road, and it's our desire, our function, our responsibility not to bump into those on our way to eternity. So help us in regard to that. Help us not to fear you. Help us to be more open to your movement in our lives. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the conviction that comes when we struggle with sin, conviction that comes when we're disobedient to the Father. Holy Spirit, I welcome that in my life. I welcome that correction in my life. So move in power this morning. I just pray that we just can just tangibly feel you this morning, your presence this morning. Surprise us. Surprise us with your goodness and your love and your mercy. Father, I just thank you for the love you have for us. I just thank you for your kindness and your goodness, your favor on this fellowship. And Lord, may we be a church that is a New Testament church in fullness for your glory, not weirdness, but in the fullness of your glory. We thank you for this day. Thank you for opportunities to worship you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church, you're aware of our giving options. They're on the screen. Offering boxes are by the doors. You have, through your faithfulness and obedience, given $100,000 toward the Capital Fund campaign that this $500,000 match is in place, and so we've been able to match $100,000 of that. Thank you so much for that. We have people available for prayer. Who's our prayer people this morning? Robert and Debbie Mills. Would y'all like to pray for people this morning? Absolutely they would. So please take advantage of that. They'd love to pray for you, and you can trust this couple. Let's continue to worship the Lord together.
As we continue in worship, I told early service, I don't know if it's grown since I've started, you know, picking songs Sunday to Sunday, but I listen to a lot of Christian music, and Ben Fuller, he's a up-and-coming Christian artist, and he's been around for a little bit now, but there's a song that's been on repeat all week in my head, and the chorus of this song is just basically talking about, like, the fact that we don't choose our plans, and God's plans are better. And so this song is called If It Was Up to Me, and I'm just going to read the chorus real quick before we continue to praise God for being the one that does make choices, but for being the one that's plans are greater than ours. And it just says this: if it was up to me, there'd be no gravel roads, no wounds, no blisters on my soul. Pain might come, but it wouldn't come for me. If it was up to me, I'd take the easy ride, but I'd miss the grace that changed my life. Thank God I'm not the one in charge of things. I'd never know how good your plans could be if it was up to me. So as we continue and as we sing more praise, just we're hopefully reminded of the fact that God's plans are better. His ways are better than our ways. Scripture says it. We declare it. We agree. And just allow us to continue worshiping with the fact of knowing that God's plans are greater than ours. Join with us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning again, church. It is good to be with you. Good to be with you, worshiping with you. If you're our guest this morning, we're thrilled you're here. We love guests. We love you being here. Hope you feel the love of Christ from His people and hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to bring that to this end of the foyer after the service. I'd love to meet you, have a free gift for our guests, and would love to get to know you a little bit. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 24, and we're also, you can have your thumb on Acts chapter 1. We're gonna flip over there in just a moment, but I wanted to kind of set this up. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and Acts were written by Luke, who was not one of the original 12, but he was one of the early apostles that spent some time with Paul and Peter and so on and so forth, and he penned these words. And I want you to see the similarity of what he's saying in the Gospel of Luke with what he's also saying that Jesus spoke in Acts. So Luke 24, verse 49 is where we're going to start. These are the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Don't you love that imagery? Clothed with power from on high. And then flipping over to Acts chapter 1. Now remember, this is the same author is writing these words that Jesus spoke. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with them, he gave this command. Do not leave Jerusalem. Sounds like stay in the city. But wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, in Abilene, Texas, and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we have invited you. We want to learn more about you. We want to be empowered by you. Would you speak in power and authority, which is the only way you know to speak? Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see this thing that's sitting on my shoulders, sometimes it's a scary place up here. That's supposed to be funny. How come nobody's laughing at that? Everybody's going, yeah? Really? So I came up with this illustration. I'm a weirdo sometimes, and I ran it by Billy, and Billy, what was your? It was one of these. I said, is this too silly to use as an illustration? And I got one of these things, but I'm going to use it anyway. I know this is not a real person, so let me state that. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Clark Kent. Go ahead, Jason. There's a little, it's up there. There it is. Clark Kent, he's just a guy. Works at a newspaper, and just an everyday guy. But when something's going on in the world that he needs to, he goes to a phone booth or whatever they do these days. Go ahead and show that next one there. And he is clothed differently. He's clothed in power and he becomes Superman. Something transforms Clark Kent to Superman. He's clothed in power. I know it's silly. I apologize for the silly illustration. But I want us to understand visually that something happens in us that gives us power. Today's message is clothed in power. So we're just going to dive into this scripture. And the first point I want us to talk about is Jesus promised to send his Holy Spirit, and he delivered on his promise. In fact, when Jesus promises anything, he always delivers. But he said, these passages we just read in Acts chapter 1 and Luke 24, he's saying, stay in the city, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be clothed with power. Something's going to change and be transformed. So that actually happened on Pentecost, which is found in Acts chapter 2. I want to read a couple of verses here. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, speaking of the disciples, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Now listen to this. All of them, not some of them, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. A word that I want you to focus in on is that word began. The Holy Spirit, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began. The church began. Up until that point, the disciples had basically been conducting meetings. Jesus said, wait here in the city, don't leave the city, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So they're sitting around in the room and the only thing they could do is like, well, hey, we probably, Scripture says that one will take Judas's place, and so they drew lots, and Matthias, I believe, was the one that was selected. Some theologians, and I agree with this, think that that they may have been getting a little ahead of the game, that really Paul was the one that was to take that place, but you don't hear of a Matthias again throughout Scripture. It's like they elect him, and then Matthias goes away. I mean, we don't hear anything else about him. But so that all they knew to do was have a meeting and have a vote. But when the Holy Spirit came into the picture, they began. The church began. They began to love, to teach, to heal, to feed the hungry, to visit those in jail, to love on the poor and disenfranchised, to raise the dead. Do you think? I don't know. I mean, I know this is radical thought for us in the West, but you think the ability to raise the dead died off with the disciples? I mean, you read Acts, they did it. You think once those, some people believe this. In some churches, you'll hear that once the original disciples died, that those gifts of the Spirit died with them. And I hate to keep whipping out the Greek on you, but that's bull. That's nonsense. You think Jesus just sent the Holy Spirit for those 12? That's it? For their lifetime? No, he sent it for us. You and I, the Holy Spirit is alive and well today, and we're going to talk more about that. But I believe the Spirit can do radical things, things that our minds can't grasp it. I read stories, I read testimonies from other parts of the country where they're not educated and scientific like we are here in the States, but where the Holy Spirit does miraculous. I've read stories where limbs have been, they've prayed and limbs have grown back. And that's if we're honest, that kind of stuff probably scares some of us to death, that God could do that. But when the Holy Spirit came, the church began. It was the engine that powered the believers, and to this day still does. Secondly, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit and he delivered. And secondly, the Holy Spirit lives in those that place their faith in Jesus. Do we have any idea, we comprehend the power of that statement? The same Spirit that Scripture tells us empowered Jesus to endure the cross, the same Spirit that raised him from the dead, that Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. Amen. If we really, and I'm putting myself in this same category, if we really grabbed hold of that and understood it and believed it, the church would be a different place. Christians would have more power than we even realize. Jesus said, the world can't accept the Spirit of truth because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. He lives with you and will be in you. I've talked about this before, but a little history lesson. In the Old Testament, God, the presence of God, God's presence was in the Ark of the Covenant. And the nation of Israel carried his presence around, and they had a tabernacle or a temple, which until Solomon came along and built a physical temple, it was basically a tent. And the Ark of the Covenant that contained God's presence was in the temple, the tabernacle, and there was a curtain that separated where the ark was. And once a year, there was a high priest that was elected to make atonement for himself and the people. And as I was reading more about this, you can make whatever you want out of this, but the high priest was to sacrifice a bull for him for his own atonement of his own sins, and then he was to sacrifice a goat for the nation of Israel. I don't know, you can go with that wherever you want to go with it. I found that kind of humorous, honestly. But he would take the blood of this sacrifice after he had made atonement for himself, and he would enter behind the curtain into the Holy of Holies on this Day of Atonement, which Yom Kippur, he would enter in, and he would make, through the blood of this sacrifice, he would make atonement for the sins of the people. But God's presence was in the Ark of the Covenant. Well, guess what? You and I don't have to do that, because we have a high priest now. His name's Jesus. Through his sacrificial blood, he has made atonement for us once and forever. We don't have to do that every year. We don't have to have a priest do that for us. We have a high priest, his name is Jesus, that has already done that for us. And so God doesn't live, this may sound tacky, I don't mean it to be, but God doesn't live in a box anymore. Guess what? He lives in us. That God, that Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Can we tap into that? I just know a little bit of that. I think I've tapped in that. Billy's prayer. God has totally revealed himself. It's us that needs to grab hold of that. In Acts chapter 2, this that we just read, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that dwells in God's people, and he dwells in God's people at Pentecost. It was the first time that it happened. The Holy Spirit is infinite. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is infinite, has always been, but the Holy Spirit had never dwelled in people, in us, until that Pentecost day. And then things began to happen because we were clothed in power. 1 Corinthians, Paul says it this way, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Galatians 3:27, all of you, not some of you, all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Man, church, I think we got this much of that power that we're exercising in the church. And I'm not talking about just Wiley Methodist Church, I mean the church. I don't think we realize the power that we possess through this gift of the Holy Spirit in us. And then thirdly, the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, he delivered, he's sent him to live in us. And thirdly, followers of Christ are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we're talking some about that. I love Luke. Just, I'm going to send you, Jesus says, I'm going to send you what the Father's promised, but stay here until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, I started to not do this, but I can't help myself. As I say, I'm kind of silly. So you've been clothed with power. Now, if I would ask the Lord, he'd make my cape a little bigger. I got a little bitty cape. I know it's stupid, but my grandkids would say, you're not supposed to say stupid. I think we walk around with a little bitty cape of power. God wants us to have the real thing. He wants us to have, to be clothed. I mean, clothed, not a little wash rag. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So, I think the question maybe is, so how do we do that? I mean, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? And I don't think it's a once and done deal. I think we're inviting, it's like more. The word more is coming to my mind. It's like every day, Lord, I want more. I want more of you. I want more of your power. So I think the question is, how do we do that? How do we invite him? Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, again, Jesus says, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, listen to this, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I think we ask. We ask, Lord, I want more, and I want more than I had yesterday. I want more of your power, more of your Spirit than I had yesterday. And then tomorrow, I want more than I had yesterday. And then the next day, I want more than I had yesterday. We invite him over and over and over. You know, I was, again, maybe a silly illustration, but I've got this plant in my office, and about at least every couple of days it needs a glass of water to stay alive. And we were gone for several days, and I came in this morning and it was kind of kind of wimpy looking. See, Wednesday before we left, I gave it a good drink. It needed more. That drink on Wednesday was good for Wednesday. We need more of the Holy Spirit than we had yesterday. So it's interesting this, if you read chapter 2 of Acts, so Jesus says, stay in the city, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, you're going to be clothed with power from on high, and then he sends the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit came, the believers began to speak in other tongues, and it wasn't a weird thing. By the way, if we're honest, sometimes, depends on our background, but I know some of us that were, I was raised in a more traditional setting, and it could be that the thinking of what's the Spirit going to do? Is he going to do something weird? Is he going to do something that embarrasses me or isn't good for me? I promise you, if you ever encounter the Spirit in any way, it's going to be good. He doesn't do things. It may, you know, sometimes the Spirit may convict us of sin, but that's good. I've been there. The asking for more of the Spirit, I promise you, don't be afraid of that. Well, they began to speak in tongues, and it wasn't weird, yabba-dabba-doo kind of stuff. Even though I think there's some legitimacy to some of that, but this, they were speaking, and there was many people coming to the city that spoke different languages, and they needed to hear the gospel. So the Spirit empowered the believers to share the gospel in the native languages of the people so that they could understand. There was a purpose to it. And so Peter gets up, and the people are going, what in the world is going on? Are you people drunk? And I love Peter's response. It wasn't like, no, we would never do that. No, it's like, hey, we're not drunk. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. That one always cracks me up. But he goes in, he shares the gospel, and he convicts these people that he's sharing the gospel. He convicts them of their sin. They say, how do we respond? What do we do now? And here's what Peter said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. That's radical stuff, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What Peter's saying is, oh, this Jesus guy, that's God. He's God. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And here it is. And you will receive the gift of the Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. He's speaking of the Gentiles. And for all whom the Lord will call and for all the people, June the 8th in Wiley Methodist Church, late service. It's for us. The Holy Spirit is for us. And the Holy Spirit, when we have the Holy Spirit, when we're not, I promise you, please don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit only brings good things to you. Amen. If you're not sure if you have the Holy Spirit, God is saying, just ask. I'm a good daddy. You ask me, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to withhold my Spirit from you. I love you. Just ask me. So I just invite you, if you just bow your heads. If you may, this morning we all come in different places with the Lord. Maybe maybe we're still searching. Maybe we just don't know the Lord, but the Lord may be convicting us of how much he loves us this morning. So there's that. And there may be people who have been believers all their life, but just really in a dry place, needing a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you've been a believer, but you just need more. You just need more of the Holy Spirit. So wherever you are, if this summarizes your heart, pray this prayer with me just in your own heart. Heavenly Father, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. I pray for a fresh touch. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of your grace and your mercy. Forgive me for all my unrighteousness that's in me. I claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would you wash me as white as snow and fill me with your Holy Spirit? Clothe me with power from your Spirit. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So as we close, the altar is always open. If you prayed that prayer, certainly if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please don't leave this place without visiting with me about that. As Billy said, Robert and Debbie Mills will be available for prayer at the end of the service. I invite you to rise if you are able as we close.
I never wanna leave.
Jesus says to us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Ask Him. He's a good daddy. He wants to give you more. That's good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you. Have a great week. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.